Chicago Bears. Yeah, I'm a Raiders fan, so obviously I would love to see him in Las Vegas. To me, the most intriguing spot there is New Orleans because the Saints are really good. Drew Brees is expected to retire here, so you have a big spot there at quarterback for a team that is a contender right now if they have the right quarterback, and I imagine Russell Wilson would like to play for somebody like Sean Payton. So that, to me, would be the most intriguing. Besides, like, if he were to go to the Cowboys, if there were a Dak for Russell Wilson trade, well, congratulations to the NFL on all the attention your league will get. But in terms of the actual team and landing spot for Russell Wilson, I think New Orleans would be the most intriguing. What would you say there?
New Orleans is the one that stands out. I think the Raiders are the team that get significantly better in terms of margin. The Saints are already really good. You've got Alvin Kamara and Russell Wilson in the backfield. I think that's something that you could utilize a ton, especially with Michael Thomas at wide receiver. So Saints would have to get better on defense, but that's the one that stands out the most where it really, he goes to a team that just had a Hall of Fame quarterback elect to retire. The Cowboys, I think there's a ton of expectations surrounding them with all the hype, as there already would be. And there was last year with Dak, so I don't think that changes the narrative there a whole lot. Defensively, there were some serious issues that were a problem for the Cowboys, even with Dak Prescott being available. The Raiders and the Bears are teams that I think get better with him, but I also don't know if there's enough there around him to really enter that conversation of being a Super Bowl contender. I'd be more intrigued. Well, really both teams, when you look at what they have at running back, Josh Jacobs and David Montgomery, I like what those two teams offer, but I think you're right that the Saints are the team out of those four that make you raise your eyebrows and say, okay, if Russell Wilson goes there, the Super Bowl odds immediately change with what New Orleans would have to offer at the quarterback spot.
So a story worth monitoring today and moving forward, Russell Wilson at least saying to Seattle, here are the teams, if you trade me, here's where I'm willing to go. He has a no trade clause in his contract. That's a big national story today. Locally, more of the conversation has been around the Tennessee basketball team beating Vanderbilt last night, but not looking great throughout the game. Still a win, but three starters and their two best players not playing in the game. Yeah, Vanderbilt's not very good to begin with at the bottom of the conference standings, and then you take away their best players, they become even worse. But Tennessee still got the win. They get ready for Auburn on Saturday, and that's when I would say Tennessee needs to win. But it's really more about the conversation of how they're playing. Also in the conference, Arkansas beating Alabama. The Razorbacks, Joel, are getting a good amount of attention with what they've been able to do here over the last several weeks.
And they should be. Ever since getting blown out by Alabama, they've been solid. They've won eight SEC games in a row. They had that loss in the SEC Big 12 Challenge, but you're talking about a team that's now elevated itself into the top 20 in the KenPom ranking, 16 overall, 30th on offense, 16th on defense, and 30th in tempo. And so they do a lot of the same things that make Alabama so tough. They can play well on both ends of the floor. Tempo doesn't scare them. And if they're hitting good shots from outside and they're being efficient on offense, well, then you're in real trouble. But even if they're not playing well, they have the defense that can get themselves back into games to help them rally. So the top of the SEC standings featuring two teams that I think are incredibly versatile on offense. They've got playmakers. Moses Moody with a huge night for the Razorbacks last night. So either one of those two teams, I'm curious to see if Arkansas can really start to shoot up the bracketology seed line as we get closer and closer to March Madness.
Right. What we've seen most recently has Tennessee averaging out as a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. I think you want to at least hold there. Can Tennessee move back up? I mean, it's a real possibility. I don't know. We don't know exactly what Tennessee's schedule is. Does Tennessee play Florida next week? You want that game, right? If you're Tennessee.
Yes, for the sake of resume and to see where your team's at. But also, depending on what happens this weekend, that Florida game could be a real chance for Tennessee to get back into the top 4 seeds in the SEC standings. Tennessee could still grab a double bye based on the way the standings sit right now. But Tennessee right. would, if that game doesn't get played next week, Tennessee needs to beat Auburn. It needs some help on Florida's part. And then if that game is played, well, then you have a head-to-head opportunity right there so that Tennessee can jump back into that conversation for sure.
How you feeling about that Auburn game on Saturday?
I think the entire my feelings around it really surround about whether Sharif Cooper plays or not. And even if he plays, I think Auburn has been a sloppy enough team that Tennessee could still win that game. But going on the road, Bruce Pearl, how well he's coached that team to play against his former program. it's a very losable game. If Tennessee plays the way it did last night, it's losing to Auburn by double digits. Case in point, it's not going to be competitive. Tennessee's going to struggle on offense. It's going to have enough defensive breakdowns that Auburn's going to go on a run in each half. Tennessee's going to have another offensive drought. It's going to be an ugly game. It's going to be boring to watch. Tennessee's going to lose by 10 or more, and Vol fans are going to be really, really upset going into March.
Yeah. Auburn is 11-13 on the season and lost to Florida two nights ago without Sharif Cooper by 17 points. The Tigers have lost 6 of 7, with that one win being by 6 points 2 weeks ago against Vanderbilt.
So not playing great basketball lately. Tennessee, however, has been a team that can kind of help some low-riding teams buck that trend. Now, I would also say Vanderbilt was having a streak of playing incredibly competitive basketball, and Tennessee handed them their first double-digit loss. Granted, everything else surrounding that game, let's not read too much into that. But look, it's a game that Tennessee should win. Whether Sharif Cooper plays or not, Tennessee's the better team. It should go on the road. It should absolutely win the basketball game. But if Tennessee continues to struggle offensively the way that it has the last several weeks, it could be a long day for Tennessee on Saturday.
Yeah, I just in terms of the game itself, I don't know what else to add with last night, because if you had Pippen and Dessou back into the lineup, I don't know that Tennessee loses the game. Maybe Tennessee's players are more focused throughout, knowing those guys are out there, but it's not as easy as it was for Tennessee. That's very obvious. And it wasn't that easy during a number of stretches.
Yeah, and so maybe this is the game where Tennessee bounces back after two bad offensive performances. We've seen Tennessee go back and forth. So is this the day where Tennessee wakes up? Did Tennessee fall asleep against a team that, you know, knowing, okay, we're not going to have to face Dylan Dessou, we're not going to have to face Scottie Pippen Jr., they've got a third starter that's out as well. You know, so do you go in a little bit more focused, knowing that you're facing a former coach and against a program that now for these current players, obviously Bruce Pearl coaching at Tennessee doesn't have as much significance to them, but you are talking about a program that went to a Final Four just a couple of years ago. So there is a bit of brand awareness there, I think, with Tennessee going to Auburn on Saturday. So maybe that adds to the focus a little bit more.
Maybe. I think in the fans' eyes, it's all about Bruce. The fact that Bruce is going to have his guys ready to go. And we'll say again, I mean, there's only, what else do you add about, can a player play or not? If you don't know, what are we supposed to say? But if Sharif Cooper plays or not is going to be a big role, and it's going to play a big role in what Auburn's able to do. But I think from the fan standpoint, you see Auburn, you see Bruce Pearl, and you think, uh-oh.
And in the last couple of years, that's been the case for Tennessee. And you know, they had that competitive game during the final William Schofield season, then didn't get so competitive in the SEC championship. And then last year, of course, Auburn came to Tennessee on senior day and beat up on Tennessee pretty good. So now the trends are significantly reversed because of Tennessee, I think, is a significantly better team than it was a year ago, despite how poorly it's played on offense the last couple of weeks. Auburn, obviously, with all the talent that it's lost, it has a lot of promise, I think, with its recruiting class from last year, but it's playing a bunch of young guys. Sharif Cooper, obviously, a big part of that. But for Tennessee, you're the better team. This should be a TCB game. It really should. And it doesn't feel like it because of how Tennessee has played for the last several weeks, but this should be a game where Tennessee can go on the road, handle its business, and find a way to come out with the win.
There was a little history for the two franchises, the Hawks and the Celtics. Celtics are on a bit of a slide, and it's just continuing to back up the future of basketball, it looks like. We'll tell you about that with our pop-up fact coming up next. We will talk to Alan Bell of Sportsline.com at 2:30. We're with you until 3 o'clock today. Joel Silverberg is here. I'm Josh Ward, Chandler Emerson, producing for us on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. I wore out more soaps than I care to count. I've done more stupid things than most would dare to. I've kicked myself more times than not. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. 30 minutes to go, and then Sports Talk will take over. That music you hear means it's time to talk to Alan Bell from Sportsline.com, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Alan, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Hey, doing really well. How should Seahawks fans be doing today with word that Russell Wilson has at least named four teams that he would be willing to go play for, which it comes with some kind of reason? What do we make there of this Russell Wilson situation?
Yeah, I mean, that's wild. Who would want to get rid of Russell Wilson, right? But I'll say this. If you're a Seahawks fan, you're looking at it, it's a little shocking, you know, just to kind of see that. But at least give it credit. The team, you know, with Pete Carroll, John Schneider, you know, running that organization. They've always been aggressive, but they've been intelligent in what they do, right? So if you're seeing this, you know that if something were to happen, you know, this team is intelligent and they generally do have a plan. So we'll see. I mean, it takes a lot to trade a guy like Russell Wilson, but you at least feel comfortable. There are other teams that would do this, and if I were a fan, I wouldn't feel comfortable at all at what's going to happen next.
And with all the discussion about how Pete Carroll is really set in his ways, and even with Russell Wilson, his agent coming out and saying he doesn't want to play elsewhere, what do you think is the likelihood that both Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are in Seattle in 2021?
Excellent question, right? So if both of them are going to be there, I think that the odds would be good just because that is such a massive trade, and there's going to be a contract that comes with that, and the Seahawks are going to have to eat some money on Russell Wilson alone. So, I mean, those two guys, they're if I were placing my money, I would say both of them are back. But again, I mean, you know, what we've seen, and let's be honest, ever since the Titans made that deal for Ryan Tannehill with the Dolphins, it opened up things across the league for teams to say, you know what, we can be aggressive with moving quarterbacks, because it used to be where you just didn't think about that at all. But if you look at the supply and demand of quarterbacks in the NFL now, teams can be aggressive with it. So it's kind of interesting that the Titans a couple years ago really did kind of set this trend off. But, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, if I were betting on it, both would be back. That's where I'd lay my money.
Regina Allen Bell, Sportsline.com. Is this going to be a new annual conversation in the NFL, the potential of quarterback movement or even quarterback movement itself?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, think about this. We also don't know where all of this is coming from, right? Who wants this information out? Is it a team? We saw, you know, like you guys just said, you know, Russell Wilson's agent says he wants to be in Seattle. There's always a reason for this information to leak, right? So you kind of have to figure out where that's coming from. But, yeah, I think that we're going to see these things year after year, because there are ways to kind of, you know, play it in your favor. If you're looking, you know, to get a quarterback to, say, restructure his deal, or you're looking out there saying, well, maybe we can make a move. Let's see if anybody, you know, is interested in doing this. There's a lot of advantages to you know, just putting that information out there. So, yeah, I think that we're going to see this, you know, really, honestly, for years to come, because there's so many quarterbacks in the NFL that are young, right? So, you know, you're not necessarily going to trade for too many that are over, you know, say 31, 32. But when you have quarterbacks that are really, really good that are 24, 25, 26, yeah, those conversations come up.
So we had Philip Rivers, Tom Brady last year. We have Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff trading places this year. Is there a quarterback that hasn't entered this conversation yet, but you think will either this year or next year, somebody that's been a veteran, maybe been with the same franchise for a while?
That's an excellent question. You know, just going off of right now, I would say Sam Darnold could be a guy in New York that we could hear about. There's still the Tua Tagovailoa situation. There's still the Deshaun Watson situation there. I think if you look at the Raiders and Derek Carr, that could be something. Look at the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that that could be a situation that where something could come up. And even weirdly enough, I've heard Kirk Cousins' name come up. And then, you know, kind of lastly, Dak Prescott. What happens there? Do they get a deal done and then trade him? Do they not? Do they become a free agent? I mean, there are so many moving pieces. We've really never seen anything like this. I mean, go back to when Peyton Manning, you know, left the Colts and went to Denver. That just didn't happen at all, right? So you look at it now, and we're talking about, not that you know these guys are on Peyton Manning's level, but they're big names in the NFL, and the fact that, you know, we just listed 9 of them, it's crazy that much movement could happen.
We're talking to Allen Bell, Sportsline.com. The Sportsline simulations, can you give us any kind of sneak peek behind the scenes of what it might say with the NCAA tournament getting closer? We're wrapping up the regular season here over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely. So if you look, we simulated it yesterday, and Gonzaga and Baylor, in all of our simulations, Gonzaga and Baylor made up about 63-64% of teams that won the national championship. So if you're somebody that likes to bet futures, you could bet that right now. I think you could get both teams, Gonzaga like plus 250, Baylor plus 300, to where if you put the same amount of money on both of those teams right now, if one of them hits, that hit is going to be larger than the loss on the other. So you could almost guarantee yourself a profit if those two do. Now, add in Ohio State and Michigan, and that adds up to about 75-76% of simulations of teams that won. So I say all that to say this. One, it's a good time to look at futures. There's certainly money to be made. And then two, what is the tournament going to look like this year, right? Is it really going to be, you know, kind of those four teams that we're looking at? You know, we've had a lot of blue bloods that aren't necessarily, you know, kind of meeting the mark this year. Is this a, you know, a year where we see like a Loyola Chicago or like a Drake or somebody, you know, pull off a stunning upset? I'm just really excited to watch March Madness because not having it last year, that hurt. And then now we seemingly have some teams at the top that are a little top heavy. But again, we still got a little bit of ways to go.
Well, according to the projections, outside of the four projected number one seeds, who seems to be the biggest potential threat to the Gonzagas and Baylors of the world? Illinois, Iowa, Alabama, who stands out the most outside the top four?
Yeah, Iowa would be that. Now, there's some concerns in terms of their, you know, defensive efficiencies. We'll see how that team rounds it out. But, yeah, Iowa certainly is one. I'll say this, you know, about a week ago, we kind of ran some numbers in terms of teams that have taken the most action to win the national championship in futures bets. And Tennessee was up there. Now, we know that Tennessee is an up-and-down team. Yeah, I mean, you don't know what you're going to get, not only each game, but each half. But there's a lot of talent there, right? Rick Barnes is a really good coach. So, you know, they're a team. Villanova, you look at them, they're going to take a lot of action as well. Illinois, like you said. But, yeah, Iowa, to answer the question, Iowa would be the one to really kind of crash that top-heavy party.
Yeah, how do you figure out what to do with Tennessee as Tennessee fans are asking that question? And the coaching staff may be asking that question right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the most difficult part. You know, and understand, I mean, they're not the only team that is dealing with this. Like, take a look around the country. Like, are you going to tell me that Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, they don't have talent on their teams? They're crazy talented. But, you know, at least at Tennessee, I know that it's not consistent. But look across college basketball. Not many teams are consistent. It's been a weird year. So, you know, Rick Barnes obviously is going to know a trillion times more than I do. But I think the important thing is just kind of get some consistency. You know, use the SEC tournament to find yourself, you know, find out, you know, really where your strengths are and just kind of come together and gel. Because like we've seen, you know, you can get hot at the right time. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFL just got hot at the right time. Not that they were a bad team. But, you know, if you just kind of put it together at the right time, you can really make some noise. And the good thing is that Tennessee is crazy talented. There's skill everywhere, and they can play defense. They just have to get consistent.
Hey, Alan, before we tell people about what's going on with Sportsline, I do have one other question for you. Yeah. I'm a little bit behind. I've tried to follow, but I'm admittedly behind. NBA Top Shot, in a minute, 2 minutes, whatever you need, can you describe NBA Top Shot for those who aren't familiar at all or for me who's still trying to figure out exactly what's going on, getting in line for packs, all that stuff?
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out parts of it myself. But generally, what it is this, is it's its own kind of – let's just say cryptocurrency market of its own, right? So what you have are these packs, and essentially they're gifts, right? So you can see of a highlighted play, et cetera, things like that. And then depending on how many of those exist, you know, the value of them, it's really purchasing and then sitting on it and seeing the value of that go up or down based on it. So there's a whole lot more. I certainly was you know, no economics professor explaining it, but that's essentially what it is. And I'll say this, there's a whole lot more education to it. And it really just began, but 3 days ago, there was $47 million worth of transactions in a 24-hour period. That is insane. There's so much money being thrown into it now. So I'm excited to learn more for sure.
Yeah. Jonathan Bell's a few weeks ago, I think got a lot of notice, $35,000 on a Ja Morant dunk. That's available on YouTube, you know. So, you know, or was it?
I guess I could download this GIF on YouTube right now. I'm not paying $35,000.
Yep. 2021. Here we are. Sportsline.com. I know you guys are continuing to make updates. What's going on there at a very busy time with Sportsline?
Yeah, definitely. So we're getting everybody ready for you know, college basketball. As we said, conference tournaments are coming up. March Madness. After that, we're gonna have a lot of good information, trends, breakdowns in terms of that. NBA obviously is going on. NHL right now, if you take a look, there's some really serious good trends in terms of bettors that are hit. You know, you've got home favorites that are 65% straight up. It's been the most betting consistent league out there. We got a lot of trends and picks and good data. And getting everybody ready for baseball's coming up. And then horse racing season. We're finally going to get the Kentucky Derby at a normal time. So, yeah, whatever sport you're into, for sure, go to sportsline.com. And anybody wants to try it out for free, use promo code SNOW, S-N-O-W. Get yourself a 15-day free trial. Give it a shot. I think you'll enjoy it.
There you go. Use that code SNOW. Go to sportsline.com. I recommend it. Alan, appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for having me.
Alan Bell right here on Sportsline. How many NBA Top Shot moments do you have so far, Joel?
That would be zero, Mr. Ward.
Okay. I got to get one of these, but 35 grand for John Morant dunk. I don't have that right now.
Yeah, I can't say that I do either.
All right. Another pack being released tomorrow. We'll come back with the Power Poll and then Sports Talk at 3 o'clock here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back for the final segment of Sports 180. We'll hit the Power Poll in a moment. It'll be interesting how we do this, but we're going to have our top five players that will make the biggest impact on Tennessee when the postseason arrives. And it's going to arrive here in a couple of weeks. The SEC tournament starts 2 weeks from yesterday. Tennessee hoping to start a play that Friday, but most likely on Thursday. So anyway, 2 weeks from today, they should be starting postseason play. Auburn's coming up on Saturday, and then we'll see if there's a game in the middle of next week. And then after that, it's NCAA tournament time. So we're going to get the Power Poll there. There's been a lot of football talk this afternoon, and probably will be some more tomorrow, but a lot of Tennessee-Auburn discussion on tomorrow's show. Mike Schwartz will join the show in the first hour, Tennessee's associate head coach. So we'll see. Tennessee didn't look great against Vanderbilt, but winning the game by 12 is a lot better than losing the game. So what can they do on Saturday will be a big talking point tomorrow. And then after this weekend, Joel, it's March. March 1st coming up at the beginning of next week.
And it's something that, despite what Tennessee, where they might be at in all of this, even if Tennessee's out in the first weekend, you want to see Tennessee go far, but just to have the tournament back, I think that's something that we missed the most from 2020, because a lot of sports got delayed, a lot of sports got moved around. I know from a Tennessee standpoint, we missed out on what Tennessee baseball could have been in 2020, things like that. But the tournament as a whole, the NCAA tournament, one of my favorite sporting events of the year, I think that's the case for a lot of sports fans in Knoxville, across the country, regardless of how Tennessee does, I'm just so excited to have this event back. All the conference tournaments, all of March Madness, it's one of my favorite times of the year. So just to have this event back, it's all going to be in Indianapolis for the men. I think it's going to be a lot of fun just to have this event back in action.
Yes, we need it. So that's still a couple of weeks away, but so 2 weeks from Sunday will be Selection Sunday, and we didn't get into it. It kind of came out during our show, I guess, but the NCAA is putting a plan in place in case teams end up not being able to go in the NCAA tournament. Some teams out there are still having a really difficult time, Texas A&M included, as it's been a few weeks, right, since the Aggies were in action.
Yeah, Texas A&M has had some issues. I believe their game for Saturday has already been postponed after their midweek game this week was already canceled,
right.
So had a number of quality teams. Villanova's had issues. Baylor, we talked about them yesterday, the issue they had against Iowa State, but that was their first game in 3 weeks. So not just struggling teams, but teams that will be going to the tournament and that are impactful in college basketball have had some serious COVID-19 issues throughout the course of the year.
Right. So it's just part of it. I think people are used to it. Doesn't mean it's not frustrating, but yeah, Texas A&M, I mean, that may just do it. I don't know. And Baylor's one of the best teams in the country, number two in the country, unbeaten, but they didn't look like that kind of team coming off a three-week stretch of not being able to play basketball. That's just part of it. That'll be part of the guessing game when you're trying to fill out those brackets in 2 weeks when when the brackets come out, and you'll have reserve teams that'll be available in case somebody has to drop out. It's a new kind of NCAA tournament for 2021. John Wilkerson stopping by in just a moment for the Power Poll. And the other big story of the day, Russell Wilson's agent with four teams that he would be willing to play for if the Seahawks trade him. And those teams are the Bears, the Raiders, the Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints. So that'll be a story you will hear a lot about today and maybe for the foreseeable future until there is some kind of resolution there. As we say hello to John Wilkerson again, getting ready for Sports Talk in just a few minutes. John, hello again.
Like a bad penny, I keep turning up.
Glad to have you back, John, and looking forward to Sports Talk in just a few minutes. Before that, let's hit today's Power Poll.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
The Power Poll, driven by Ted Russell Ford. Two locations to serve you, Kingston Pike and Parkside Drive.
Alrighty, today's Power Poll, the five players who will make the biggest impact on how Tennessee's season plays out. Joel Silverberg, would you like to lead us off with your top five?
Number five, and this was kind of tough because Tennessee does have options and guys that are very important, which maybe adds to the frustration of how Tennessee has played over the last several weeks. But number five, I've got Victor Bailey Jr. The way that he's played in the last three games, if that continues, that's some serious offensive firepower coming out of the backcourt for Tennessee. Number four, Eve Pons, a double-double last night. If he's better on the boards, and depending on what happens with John Fulkerson going forward, are they going to continue to limit his minutes? Is he going to continue to struggle? Eve Pons being able to contribute at both ends of the floor is going to be big for Tennessee. Number three, Jaden Springer. I think he's your best pure scorer at this point in time, and for a team that's struggling on offense, to have a guy coming out of the backcourt that can run the offense and that can just get a bucket when you need one, I think that might be the most likely guy to do that for Tennessee. Number two, John Fulkerson, just because I think that's the biggest positive impact that could be had, that if Fulkerson starts to erupt again as he did late last season, that would give Tennessee the biggest spark. Number one is Josiah Jordan-James, a do-it-all guy, your leading rebounder. He plays good defense. If he's getting stronger offensively, how much better of a player does that make him? How much better of a team does that make Tennessee? Let's see if he can continue to get healthy. I don't think he was at quite 100% yesterday with the wrist issue after he missed a couple games, but Josiah Jordan-James would be my number one.
All righty, John Wilkerson, would you like to give us your top five players that will have the biggest impact on how Tennessee's basketball season plays out?
Yeah, I'll actually start with a question. Josh, what do you think Keon Johnson did to Joel to be left out of his top five?
Yeah, I was going to text him a photo of Keon and make sure he knew who he was. Maybe it's because he missed the oop last night. I'm not sure.
Could be. At number five, I go Eve Pons. Number four, I go John Fulkerson. Number three, Keon Johnson. Number two, Jaden Springer. And I do think that the straw that stirs the drink for Tennessee, because he can do just about everything. Actually, I think he can do everything. Josiah Jordan-James.
Yeah, a worthy selection. I've been high on Josiah all season long in terms of his ability to impact the game in so many different ways. My top five, I will go ahead and tell you, it does not include John Fulkerson. If John Fulkerson's able to return to play at a high level, that would be tremendous, and that would make my power poll very wrong, and I think it would help Tennessee go very far. That's not what I'm counting on right now for Tennessee, which is unfortunate. And for his sake, I hope that it plays out that way. I have Eve Pons at number five. And this is where I think it becomes a little bit difficult, because Pons is such an impactful player and he's so important. It's just that I kind of feel like we know what he's going to be able to do for Tennessee. The others are a little bit more of a wild card in the conversation. I have Victor Bailey Jr. If he continues to shoot well and scores consistently, that really could be good for Tennessee. I have Josiah Jordan-James number three, which feels too low. Here's the reason I have him number three. Because Springer and Johnson, I think, are easily their two best scoring threats. And they're going to need that probably game in, game out. So I have Springer number two and Keon Johnson number one. You could flip-flop. But I put them together at the top because I think Tennessee will badly need both of them to score on a regular basis if Tennessee is going to survive in advance in the NCAA tournament. And Josiah Jordan-James at number three, to kind of set them up to be able to do that and play really good defense as well. That is the Power Poll. Top five players who will have the biggest impact on how the rest of Tennessee's basketball season plays out. We could have done a Power Poll, best foods to eat in a bowl, as it's National Chili Day. John, what's the best food to eat out of a bowl, would you say?
Oh, wow. I think chili is a good place to start. But then again, anything can be in a bowl, because as we all know, that's where you eat most of your kale.
Oh, yeah. Here at the Ward House, we've really taken a deep dive into kale chips with the air fryer, and it's a game changer.
But I would start with chili, and also Penny makes a taco soup that is just unbelievable.
There you go. Yeah, the bowl, underappreciated, I would say. Hey, John, what's coming up next on Sports Talk?
Well, Vince Ferrara has been busy with baseball both Tuesday and Wednesday, so we will get our hour with him from 3:30 to 4:30. At 4:30, it'll be time for Slapshots with Mike Murray, president and GM of the Ice Bears. They've got some huge home dates coming up. Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com will join us for hour number three. We'll have post-game reaction to Tennessee's win last night at Vanderbilt and also have comments from Kelly Harper at the Lady Vols tonight play at Missouri. All that and more today on Sports Talk.
Hey, John, we appreciate all the time that you give us on a Thursday, including today. Thanks so much, and look forward to Sports Talk here in just a few minutes.
You guys have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Joel Silverberg. Thank you, Chandler Emerson. Great job. We will be back tomorrow with a big Friday episode, getting you ready for the upcoming weekend. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Sports Talk's coming up next here on The Sports Animal.